She didn't know. Ben hadn't told her anything substantive about himself. Where are you from, Ben?
All about, really.
Why are you here?
On Tatooine or here at the store?
What do you do?
This and that, nothing important.
That last answer described two-thirds of her patrons. She'd gotten more substance out of some of her discussions with Bomer, the Rodian who spoke no basic. But while Ben's non-answers were frustrating, they neither surprised nor offended her. None of her customers told her much on the first visit. Not verbally, anyway. What they bought, however, spoke volumes. And Ben's tub, a portable wash basin now doubling as a shopping basket, brimmed with clues for the retail eye. The curtain rod told her he wasn't camping. The basic tools told her he hadn't been there long. The tins of food paste told her he intended to stay for a while, and that he lived too far away to shop often. The containers of industrial-strength solvent told her he had a big cleaning job ahead. And rags. Who bought rags? Someone who traveled light, who'd arrived without old clothing to spare for cleaning. Finally, there was that other little tidbit, which she had very nearly overlooked. A bed pillow. Just one. She casually strolled the aisles, finding out a little more from him in between Callie's periodic interruptions to report her progress. When the supply room failed to yield packing accessories sized for Ben's EOP, the girl had taken it upon herself to invent something with spare parts. She'd lashed two smaller feed sacks to a third to create a saddle pannier, and had spent the last half hour working on increasing the load. Only twice did Annalene and Ben hear the surprised bleat of a tipped-over animal from outside. "Callie means well," Annalene had said. Ben hadn't seemed concerned. And while he'd sounded knowledgeable about life in the desert, Annalene had grown to believe he didn't know much about Tatooine. All desert worlds were the same, except in the ways they weren't. Many an overconfident transplant had learned the hard way. A foolish Geonosian had gone broke, protecting his house here against flash floods that existed only in his home world memories. But as customers re-entered one by one, Ben grew anxious for the tour to end.
"This should be sufficient," he said. "Are you sure? I'm not trying to upsell you. I'm just afraid I'll need a second EOP before we're through."
Annalene chuckled. "We sell those too." She placed the armload of goods she was carrying on the counter, while Ben set the metal tub on the sinstone floor.
"All right. One cashier, no waiting."
He shuffled on his feet and reached in his pocket.
Are Republic credits still good here?
As good as they ever were, she said, stepping behind the counter.
We don't pay politics much mind. Let me deal with the loose things first, and then we'll get to what's in the tub.
She began adding the items to his already lengthy sales tab, and as she did, she could see him counting along, keeping a running tally to himself. It wasn't the nervous watchfulness of her more strapped customers, but he was still keeping track.
So he can afford all this, she thought. But money still matters.
"Look there," a gruff voice said. "Someone's done some shopping."
Annalene looked toward the exit to see Mullen standing in the doorway with his sister Vika. Behind them loomed Zed, one of their Jawa-tossing accomplices. Zed was human, but only just, muscle-bound and currently black-eyed. She had heard that a social misstep involving a Wookiee in Anchorhead had caused the latter condition, as well as the departure of several of Zed's teeth. It was Zed's incapacitation that had given Jabe his chance to fill in on the lead Galt service crew. Annalene was happy to see Zed return to work. But she wasn't happy to see him here now. Mullen's bad attitude only grew more toxic when he had his pet Mountain shadowing him.
The door slammed shut behind the trio, who started walking purposefully toward the counter.
"Surprised you're buying here, instead of from your little friends," Mullen said, approaching Ben from behind. "Decent people don't take rides from Jawas."
"It won't replace shuttle service, that's true," Ben said. He didn't look up from folding and sorting his cloth goods on the counter. Annalene paused her own counting. "Be nice, Mullen."
"That's right. Remember, he's the big hero."
Vika strutted up to the counter beside Ben. She hoisted herself onto it, nearly knocking his neat stack of cloth goods onto the floor.
"Get off there,"
Annalene said, shoving at the young woman. Vika didn't budge. Ben slipped his folded purchases inside his new pillowcase. "It's all right," he said quietly. "It's just high spirits."
"Spirits is right," Annalene said, sniffing at Vika.
"And not even an hour past lunchtime. Well done." She wished again that Danar had never decided to keep the bar open all day long. A look at Mullen and Zed said they were similarly lubricated.
"Don't you people have vaporators to get back to?"
Mullen belched.
"Our machines, our schedule."
"I don't think your father would agree with you," Annalene said. Mullen knelt by the wash basin at Ben's feet.
"That's a lot of junk he's buying. Is his money good?"
Mullen grabbed the handle of the tub with one hand and slid it closer. If Ben took offense or even noticed as the dark-haired man pawed through his purchases, Annalene didn't see.
"I wouldn't trust him," Mullen finally pronounced.
Annalene slammed her data pad on the counter.
"That's enough, all of you."
"Last I checked, Mullen Galt, your name wasn't on the deed. Or anything else. Except maybe that arrest warrant in Mos Entha. Why don't you go back there?" she said. Vika sidled closer to Ben, reached out and put her thumb underneath his chin.
"He's a nice one," she said,
tilting his face upward like livestock under study.
"Looks hungry, though."
"Another grubber starving on the range."
Mullen looked up from where he crouched, to Ben's left.
"He wasn't saving Callie.
He probably wanted the dewback for a meal."
Behind, Zed guffawed. Vika gripped Ben's hairy chin between her thumb and forefinger.
"I don't know. I'd be fine with him saving